when in a way when two things become one. I know we react nervously when we hear this. Listen to the end. Don't yet form an opinion. The example he gives is a cloth which is put into a container full of dye. Dye, that water with a color. And then it is... when it comes into it, it will absorb the color of the dye. This was once a white a silken cloth, and when Gurahari put it into, I believe nowadays we use washing machines, we put the dye inside, he put it in there, the color of the thing here, the cloth, became one with the color saffron. It's now bleaching out, and we will soon have to do it again. And in this way, the cloth adopted a color, and for all practical purposes, it appears to be saffron, a saffron dress now. So when we want to chant the holy names of Krishna with full absorption, what we are meant to do and meant to achieve is that our subtle body, our mind, is dyed in the holy name. And for that, some of it has to die. To go away. To abolish its existence. Just like when we use, when we put this white cloth into saffron, it's no longer white. The white is gone somewhere. It is, for all practical purposes, a saffron cloth. So, knowing well about this delicate subject matter, some of our teachers have told that real bhajan means maran. Smaran means maran. Maran means death. Something has to go. Something is overruled, is overwhelmed, is over beard, is so on. Now, when we hear the word death, it sends chills of terror down our spine, and we become totally, totally horrified. But the ego death is something which is first of all pleasant. And second of all, as strange it might sound here, is something natural, because this flickering mind with its millions of subject matters is something which is adopted. It's a stranger. It covers our original nature. It's not who we are. It's not what we want. It's not something which serves us in any way. It's just a helpless habit which we adopted long ago. This constant being absent-minded from our relationship with Krishna. The original and natural position is to be with Krishna. Because the original state of the mind is clear and transparent. It's not muddy. It's not muddy waters. You know, water is transparent. But then sometimes there are situations when the river water becomes muddy. It's not natural. It's not original. You know, the state of the mind, the clear, transparent state of the mind of a devotee is that it's full of love. And I feel here is where absorption shows itself from its beautiful nature. Love has that ability. Love has that quality to it. It absorbs us entirely, but because it is natural to the human mind, it's not something where we speak of death. When you love something, has to die. We don't express it ordinary like this. We say when we love, we are exhilarated, we are enthused, we are enthusiastic, we are joyful, we are trusting. When we love, we have a warm feeling to now describe feelings and we have an opening feeling and let me now really make an effort to get the English right. I will turn to Jai Radhe, who is an English teacher. We have expensive feeling, not money. How do you say that improper? Expansive. Yeah. It expands. That's the goal. Expand, you know. Thank you. Do you say it absolutely free from any dialect? Or
it's just not an E, it's an A. So it's yeah.
Thank you. Acha. Acha, you know everything. Expansive. So it expands. I'm sorry, it sounds strange, I know, but English is not my mother tongue. That's what we feel when we love. And now you must hear, when you love totally. Everything is involved in it. So when we speak today about absorption, you can't really hit it. You can't hit the mark. You can't see it. If you go in any way about it, then with the mood of love. It's important. Don't force yourself to love. It won't work. Don't force yourself to absorb yourself. It just doesn't work. It is something which is one of my main objectives to... one thing I have become very alert to, when I see devotees forcing themselves, I say, okay, you have 25 years where you can do it, but then you will not be able to do it any longer. And my dear devotees, I want to tell you, it's not how fast you are, it's how long you move in your life. Of course there is a place of forcing yourself and just bringing yourself to the task, putting discipline and so on. It's really also necessary, and I really want to say that I believe in discipline. I'm also doing it, but you have to balance it with something else, and I will talk about this morning. See, because if you act, if you want to reach the state of absorption by force, yes, there will be something in you which will start to react first slowly, then a little bit more, then more, and finally it will explode and you will say, I'm not doing this. It's not natural. You can only do something which is natural. And the most natural force of what you can achieve is that attractive potency of which is there in the Bhakti Shakti. You must come to that level where you don't move by the pushing force, but by the pulling force. I was very interested to see that I met one devotee just recently, I will not tell you his name, who tried to become a yoga teacher. 7 long years he did every morning 1.5 to 2 hours intense yoga. I won't tell you the style so that you don't know whose it is. And after 7 years, because I know this devotee, so I just looked all the time at him. I give you 10 years to try this. But he already, now a new English word I learned, pooped out in 7 years. it doesn't work. It's against the human psyche. And it's against the finer levels of spiritual life. You can't reach it with that pushing force. You have to be met by Krishna, by the attraction force, the pulling force of Krishna. You have to allow Krishna to work his miracle and step aside when you try to do your grandiose miracle. So the grandiose is, I say it with a sarcastic undertone. We are small, we are insignificant, we require the mercy of the Lord to enter the kingdom of absorption. Otherwise, we can't storm with our own force into the kingdom of heaven. I think there's a song, Stairways to Heaven. I remember such a song. I don't know the lyrics because usually they are so dazed and confused, the people who make these lyrics, that they don't have a clear philosophical line in it. But you can't build your stairways to Vaikuntha. It does not work. It has to come to you as a gift of mercy. You have to be caught and catched and brought forward by Nam Prabhu so that you can enter the higher states, which are beyond the simple stuff of mind control, which any healthy person with a healthy emotional inner life can reach. Mind control is not such a great achievement. There are many yogis who are very good in it. Absorption is something which descends by grace. I will become crystal clear in a second. Please continue to follow. Why are we not absorbed in chanting? It is because there are still two. It has not become one. We have not dyed our consciousness. It has not penetrated us. There is what Augustinus called, there are two wills. There's a new will in us which wants to reach a spiritual perfection. But there is a very, very strong old will in us which wants sense gratification and leisure and entertainment and the non-spiritual life, the me life. I'm in the center. So I've tried to write about this, and I would like to read it because I couldn't pretend to express it in a more concise way. Beginners, and I consider that it's good to be in a beginner's mind. Beginners are often divided souls with tendencies towards both material and spiritual life. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states that when we initially gain a drop of faith and begin to think, let me become a Vaishnava and serve the Lord. At this beginning state, where this desire comes, let me become a Vaishnava and serve the Lord. At that stage, the concepts of I and mine are still there, though they are a little more spiritualized. So in the beginning, I am in the center and my interests are still overwhelmingly strong. They are psychological drives, which are really powerful. And a little bit is there on the side. Let me also become a Vaishnava, serve the Lord, and put him in the center. But we often suffer from a divided mind, torn between the good things we now truly want, or at least know we should want, in the things we actually do and think. The new will, which we begin to develop, is not yet strong enough to overcome that other will, strengthened as it is by long indulgence. Those old habits have grown into fierce masters that seem to come alive with all their brutal force once we wish to escape their unrelenting rule. No, it's not so easy. And the more someone just relies on his own pushing power, the more he does it, the old master will say, wait. And it will not go away by this force. It will wait. It is clever. It has gone to many, many schools and many lives, and it just smiles about you. Yeah. 10 years, 15 years, 25 years, yeah. And then I will come and I will make a star appearance. I have seen this, and I talk so much about it because you know the sannyas ashram in ISKCON, where those who really try it enter, has constantly been emptied out by the brutal force of the old masters. It's if you look at the statistics, my dear devotees, it's you go like, my God, what are we doing in ISKCON regarding the sannyas ashram? It's you go like, something is wrong here at the root. You have to think like this. They give their best. We should be very, very, we should embrace these devotees who could not keep up the force and cry with them in their tear, and we should have compassion to them. They tried really. They really gave it the best try. No maha, no sweets, and so on and so forth. But it's not that easy. It's not that easy. We are not that powerful. We are small, very small, very small. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur expresses this situation. Alas, how unfortunate I am. Having fallen into this insurmountable ocean of material existence, I'm being thrown here and there by the violent waves of my wicked desires. I cry miserably at my helpless condition. But I do not see any hope for being saved. What should I do? How will I be delivered? I do not see any solution to my dilemma. Alas, alas! Am I not most unfortunate? My Lord, take me to you. Take me up to the shade of the cool dust of your lotus feet. Oh, have mercy on this wretched self. This is how strong it is. Here is a Mahabhagavat crying out like this. Now some of our theologists have reduced such prayers to a mere show. He's making a show as if he is a conditioned soul. It's not correct. He's not making a show. He feels like this. Can we not allow him to have his feelings? Are we so wise that we can edit his works and tell him what he really thinks? He feels like this. That is the position from where you can get everything and more. Don't try to come to the level of perfection of by your own strength. Try to sincerely feel your imperfection. And sincerely, not as another show, you know, sincerely. And from there you gain everything. That's the paradox of spiritual life. From there only you will get the entrance into the kingdom of love. Only from that position, not from anywhere else. After having said this and made a very strong call for this, I want to say during the retreat, you will come to this place. And don't worry if it comes, when the tears come, when the desperation appears on your door, when that sincere feeling of helplessness enters you, then you can chant. I know that some of you are slowly brought to this stage in my discussion, and as much as I know it's unpleasant to come there. As much as you, as it's unpleasant, then this is beneficial. I remember in my own life, I was I had hoped to make a fantastic japa retreat in Kanainata Shala. It's the place where Gauranga Mahaprabhu met for the first time Krishna. I don't know if you know, on his way back from Gaya to Navadvip, after he had offered pinda for his deceased father Jagannath Mishra, he stopped a day's journey shy of Navadvip. You know, before Navadvip, he stopped and he looked over the Ganga, which was very, very broad. And he saw on the other side an enchanting rock coming up from the river. And he saw, there it is, the land of my highest aspiration, Vrindavan. It says that Radharani, who wants to be just with Krishna, no other gopis, created Gupta Vrindavan, a hidden Vrindavan, at the bank of the Ganga, which is called Kanainata Shala. You must go there. You must go there and chant, because that's where it all originated, our movement. Theologically, it came there into place. So Gauranga, without telling anything to anyone, swims alone over the Ganga. It's a long swim there. It's a broad river. I suggest you take a boat. It's really very broad. And then he climbed up, and there he described this later in the words of Bilva Mangala Thakur. He saw Lord Krishna with a flute, looking at him enchantingly, playing his tune, the tunes on the flute, dressed in gunja berries, a mala of these forest berries. They're inside, let me describe the outside. They're reddish, and then there is a whitish little spot on it. They look very, very delightful. And Pitambara and yellow dhoti, and his eyes, which were moving back and forth like the eyes of a little child. He saw him and he heard him and he ran after Krishna. Then the Krishna disappeared, and later he described that from that moment he fell into an ocean of separation from Krishna. And his only motto in life was, where are you? Where are you? Where are you now? And he taught his followers chanting in that mood of separation. And my dear devotees, that separation which a sadhaka feels, we were touching yesterday a little on it when Dulal Chandra Prabhuji has spoken yesterday. That separation for us as beginners in this means, really, I'm not yet, I don't have you, Krishna, you're not really there. I'm truly truant in this relationship. I'm absent here. And it's not good. It gives me, it's very painful, you know. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'm being thrown here and there by the violent waves of my desires. I cry miserably at my helpless condition. So, and this, from this place on, this is the entry into Chaitanya Bhakti, which he taught to his followers, that where are you? In a heart-rendering lamentation mood. And this is how you become absorbed from this place, not from the place of mind control. This is where you become absorbed. You become, in a later state, you will become obsessed. You will always see Krishna everywhere, like our Srila Prabhupada. You know, he was always in this mood. He sometimes, I remember in Mayapur, he chanted Jai Radha Madhava, and all of a sudden, something changed. It was first everyone. I was asleep, and someone. I'm not sleeping. Then I woke up, looked at Prabhupada, and something was different. The next thing was, he cried uncontrollably. He sat very peaceful like this, but the tears were coming uncontrollably. And the next thing I knew is that the whole temple room was engulfed in that what Prabhupada felt. We were, of course, just total newcomers. I remember I did not know what to think now. Some started to cry. But I was so brand new, and I just had come out of sleep. I just kept looking, and there was nothing to see, really. There was all to feel. And then it got to also to me, that feeling of which was from Prabhupada. I can't tell you what happened exactly, because I don't have vocabulary for this, and no previous experience, but it was so sweet and so different from any feeling in this world, that I, of course, long to get a little of that whenever Prabhupada wants, sometimes in some future life again. It was just so nectarian. You can't express. And then it stopped. The switch was turned. Prabhupada came back to the other consciousness. He had carried us there for a while, where he was, and he was back, and he looked, and then he continued as if nothing had happened. Radha Madhava, like every morning. But it was never the same for the devotees who were there and remember this. And so on. So this is the entrance place, feeling the separation. Now, of course, there is something which we can do and we should do. My strong case against pride endeavor is now no longer there. I will want to tell you 6 steps which are very good to do, where you can do your best so that Krishna's mercy can capture you and pull you where you can, to that area where you can only come by His mercy. And there are things which really help you to come to a place where your mind is no longer jumping around like a foolish little monkey from Loi Bazaar. Hare Krishna. There are the following 6 qualities which you should cultivate. Cultivate means you put some effort to it, like a cultivator, a gardener who waters his plants. That's called cultivation. They are coming from they are quoted in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, in the 17th Vilas, that's something like a chapter, verse 129 for those who have the book. I think it's available on email in the email world, or how do you say, on computer. We can ask Manu, he knows Krishna.com and knows how to do this computer work. It can be downloaded there. Maybe Manu, can you find the Sanskrit? Is it possible? Do you have this? Or no, is it difficult? It's too difficult at the moment. No problem. First is, you need to control your mind when you chant. I can't hear. Okay. Mother Indrani. For you, we will do it. We will tune up the volume now. What is your good age? 84. A little shy of 85. Or a little shy of 108. Hare Krishna. Yes, so let us be loud now. Control of the mind. When you chant, what you do is, whenever the mind goes somewhere, you pull it back. Those who work on mind control issues know, do it gently. Just, okay, it went. Okay, come back now, we are chanting at the moment. Don't feel like guilt and, oh, shame, oh my God, the mind, what did it just think about? It thought about so and so, or something. we are chanting now, and you bring it back to the mind. This endeavor is expected of a sincere sadhaka. The next stage is you should try for internal and external purity. You know, mental contaminations like these feelings of lust or anger towards someone or envy stick to the mind much more than mud sticks to the body, and they bring us into repetitive maya japa. Japa in the sense of repeating themselves, you know. They're really, lust does japa, and greed does japa, and envious, oh my God, enviousness does such good japa in it. Again and again, he has more than me. He has more than me. You know, it's so boring, this and so on. So it is important for those who want internal purity that the heart is weeded out from these mental weeds, you know, which grow along the bhakti lata, you know, desire for prestige, for self-importance, is very strong there. It's the strongest, really. You have to be a little bit, you have to be a gardener and take care of the weeds, because your mental state will always continue in the absent-minded state when you are not pure inside. Only a pure soul can engage in purified things. An impure soul must engage in impure things according to the law of resonance or attraction. When you have unattractive thoughts, I mean impure thoughts, you will go to impure areas. It's a mathematical reaction. Some devotees say we can't absorb. It's because you are absorbed already differently with these impure things. And then you just go there naturally. A and A goes together. B and B goes together. Impure and impure goes together. It fits together. So you have to create another inner milieu in your life, so that you, this milieu will, do we say milieu? That's a French word actually, no? Milieu, yes. Atmosphere, an inner atmosphere, an inner milieu. Gaurahari would say it properly, but he most probably he doesn't want to speak French. So, inner milieu, or inner atmosphere will draw you. So, therefore, it's very important to not put so much movies in your mind, so much worldly songs in your mind. When you put this, it all puts the culture into your heart, and then it's very difficult for you to do japa. It is not possible, you know, because the inner milieu is not pure. Therefore, we always talk about four rules and regulations in our movement. They are necessary, and we have one injunction, which will come in the third point. You have to take the nonsense a little bit out, that harmful stuff which we upload on our hard drive in our mind, you know. Just like in a computer, you don't want to upload pictures which are not decent, because when you do so and you are in the midst of a serious operation, then all of a sudden a frivolous picture shows up and you are disturbed. So the mind is like this. If you upload frivolous pictures in the mind, these frivolous pictures will come up during your japa. It's released. The mind is not so, you know, it just comes, whoop, oh no, where did that come from? It came from the movie The Unfrivolous Two, you know, or whatever, The Frivolous Two, or whatever. I'm making up a name of a movie. I'm not expert in movies, so I can only go to my fantasy. The Frivolous Two, you know, that comes from that movie, what you just saw. The next thing, so we are here, control of the mind, internal and external purity. The next thing is silence. It's when you do japa, it's not good to talk during japa. And today you will make an experience in silence. What you will do is you will stop talking also outside of your japa. And you will see something quite amazing happening. I really want you to not see this mona as an inventive or creative torture by Archana City and company. You know, it is a real amazing experiment. Don't feed your mind with the normal talks which you do. And you will see the mental energy changes. And just put on until the time when the mona is spiritual sound vibration. You will see something quite unusual. It's really an experiment which will give you, if you do it properly, wonderful results. Please don't do it resisting. Oh no, I can't talk. Oh no, I can't talk. I would love to talk or make just a funny remark at least, you know, a human remark or you know. At that time, your mind is talking. When you resist, we have one, in English there's one word, what you resist, that persists. So if you go in a rebellious mood into this, then better you talk secretly somewhere, you know, behind the bushes, and then get it over with what you have to talk, you know. Then, you know, this is a... Then you know all the day. I would love to talk. I would love to talk. I have some good talk subject matter. I read this novel, fiction. You know, I can Krishnaize it and then talk something really interesting. I mean, I'm not a boring talker. I'm a quite interesting talker, and so on. Then your mind talks all the way. You know. Bring yourself to the practice means you bring also your mind to the practice. Silence. In your life, I want to give you one little tip now on silence. The thing you should absolutely refrain from in your life, my dear devotees, which will bring excellent results, is don't criticize others or talk bad about others. I want to tell you a secret. I'm trying not to criticize anyone. I'm trying. It's difficult because I'm from Germany. And but I'm trying, and I've reduced the amount of criticism significantly. I mean, I'm still criticizing in comparison to you much more, but I'm brought it down, you know. I was so critical. I was a rebel of society, you know. And I, when I saw that ISKCON is also not 100% perfect in all its decision, I became a little rebellious also. But I'm trying to bring this down, and I have excellent results. Because what I personally experience, when you criticize, you will be criticized. It's the fastest way to make an experiment on karma. Oh, Mother Indrani, I'm sorry. You should tell me. You're the elder member. You're very respectable. You just can say like this or like this. This is such a clear gesture. I'm sorry to. I will talk now a little louder. We can even make an arrangement to sit you next to the loudspeaker if you wish. Or this is sufficient? This is good. Yes, good. Good. So, when you talk, I found out, when you talk bad, you know, like we do that when we are in the evening and the mind has easy talk and we go like, and lament and lament and lament, and it's everybody else's skill, chef, problem that you have a problem, you know, and so on. We go like this. The next morning you wake up miserably, and then you are up for a day that everyone will criticize you. It's the fastest working karma to criticize. It just goes like zoom, and zoom, it comes back. And bad feeling. Try to not criticize anyone. Your life will become delicious. Really. Really, try it. But you want to be honest. So if someone asked you sincerely, tell me what do you think about him? What I try to say is, he is enigmatic for me. I don't know. I cannot understand. Enigmatic. He's an enigma. You know, that's a polite word of saying, yeah, I don't understand, but no need to talk about it. I don't understand. Fourth is something which you could do. Yeah, this is a good time to take notes, because these are like the things you can do. And by all means, I believe in discipline, and therefore I'm telling you now, oh discipline lovers, what you can do and what is done in the Shastra. Contemplate the meaning of the mantra. I think we have sufficiently talked about this in the japa retreats, which you have observed till now. You just bring yourself to the place of the translations which are there in your little folder which you have received for level 3. There's an excellent meditation about meaning, a full-blown meaning, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur alludes to in Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita. That is there for you for free. Yes? Yes, it is there. It is there. So you can find it. The essence is the meaning which Prabhupada has given to us. Please accept me in your service. Radha and Krishna, please accept me in your service. You can maybe sometimes experiment today. When you have that full, this meaning which you have, I recommend go with one meaning at a time, or one meaning per round. Start with Hari and then just be in the place, oh Radha, please capture my inner heart and deliver me from the bondage of material life. Huh? Then you stay with this, stay on this place, and then you change. It doesn't work that you go Hare or Radha, Krishna or Krishna, Hare. Then you lose it. That's not how it is meant to be done. Okay, we will not go into this very long. And the last two things are patience and you should not rush your chanting just to finish. Don't rush with the practice. Be with the practice. Huh? Don't rush it. Just be there. Be connected. And wait patiently what happens. Just always be present, be present, be present. But not in a forceful way, in a gentle way. Be present, be present, be present. And steadfastness is very similar. It is, you should be persistent and not lose hope even when you don't attain the expected results as quickly as you wished for. So these are six qualities which will perfect your japa. And perfect your japa means which will help you to absorb yourself entirely. Control of the mind, internal and also external purity. It's good, but I don't need to speak about this. You all appear to be freshly showered. Third is silence. No talk during the japa and no nonsense talk outside the japa. Fourth, the contemplation of the meaning of the mantra. Fifth, patience, where you don't rush your chanting. And steadfastness, to not lose hope, even if you don't attain the expected results as quickly as you have hoped. See, don't rush it. Can you rush love? No, it develops. You can rush love. You know, you can say, okay, let's get this over with. And I don't want to speak about this because I'm supposed to not even know about this. Let's eat my food real fast. But loving things, you can't, you can't, You can't rush. That's why, you know, when you are in a class of Radhanath Maharaj, it sometimes goes on for 6 hours. Have you noted? Yeah, but it's good. It's always new and always fresh and comes from a deep place. Yeah. Sometimes 6 hours I have witnessed with my own eyes. Yeah, because he is a loving offering to the devotees and to Prabhupada and can't be rushed. Then he says, I'm almost finished. I'm really finished now, but there is one story left. Would you like to hear it? And we all say, Anaji, time is also there and some hunger is also there in the stomach. But you say, yes, Haribo! Who can stop love, you know? Avyagrata, patient, not rushed. In your chanting, no need to rush. And the last is steadfastness. I would request you to practice with these. Make a list, you know, just go over them as you do your chanting in the Mona Japa. Because these are just mechanical helps for absorption. But again, I want to start and end with the same point. If you want to control your mind, you will require devotional thoughts ultimately, devotional feelings or a devotional space. See, in the material field we do endeavors, but in the spiritual world field we rely on blessings. And I learned this from my new car. I mean, I cannot drive, but I have driven many cars to the end. You know, with our preaching, we sometimes have 50,000 miles on a car per year. So really, we are drivers like anything. We preachers. And then there was some benzene was more expensive. Do we see benzene? Benzene, we say in English. Gas. Gas. We say gas. Is gas benzene? Yeah, gas. Petrol, yes. Gas, yes. So, gas. So we changed into a diesel car. Do you have diesel? Oh, God, then you will be able to... to understand. So, our car was, old car was gas car, but then gas became so expensive, so, the car was anyways totally useless already, so we disposed of it, and we bought a cheap diesel car. So then we had a preaching program in Luxembourg, and it was very late, and we had to drive to our next destination in that night, which was Radadesh. So Ashok Kumar, our driver, drives, and then he says we need to put new gas inside, and he goes to the gas station. I'm fast asleep, and he wakes me up. Now it's your turn. Sachinandan, U-turn. I will sleep now, and you please fill in the fuel. So I get out. Go to the thing, and in Europe we have gas, then we have super gas, then we have something, and then we have diesel. So, we have now a diesel car, right? But I'm moonwalking. Out of habit, I go to the gas thing. Take the gas thing. And already fall asleep while doing it. Then the next thing is, no, it spills all over my hand, and okay, I put it back, change it, pay the fuel, and then sit down in order to comfortably sleep. It's your turn, brother. So he starts the car, and the car starts jumping forward like a Mustang. Mustang. Thank you. You know everything. Mustang. And we all laugh, like brahmacharis have sometimes not so practical. We laugh and joy, and we can drive for 10 more kilometers. But then it really gets wild, the car. It jumps, pum, 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 pum. It's really a lot of gas inside, and it really goes, makes all these sounds and everything, it really, and finally it just makes like a sound, and then we just put it on the side, and Ashok says, what is going on in this wild car? Is it from America or what? No, it's Toyota. It's all right. And then we stand around the car to try to help it, and we phone the service people. It doesn't. They look at it until the sun rises, and they don't find the cause. Finally, one of the service person looks at me. Then he goes to the tank. And he says, do you have a gas car or a diesel car? I said, diesel. We bought a diesel car. Just gas is too expensive. Come, boy, smell what is inside your thing. I'm too bewildered. I don't know. I was just too upset with the whole situation. And then he says, you have changed your car. Now, gas is no longer what you put inside. You have a diesel car. That means you have to put in diesel. We go diesel, yes, but you put in gas. And there I had a stunning realization. My realization is what worked before doesn't work any longer. And this is a realization I want to bring to your attention. Efforts worked before in your spiritual life. That was the gas by which you run your life. Sometimes successful, sometimes maybe not so successful, but you didn't know of anything else. Now it's blessings. You have to have blessings. And Krishna has his way. Sometimes he brings the chanter to the position of desperation, where he really knows, I will not be able to do this if I don't collect blessings. I will not do it on my own strength. I know many devotees now struggle with 16 rounds on a daily basis. I don't think you are doing this because you are in level 3, so you seem to have a profound interest in the subject matter. But many devotees in our movement find it difficult, and it's difficult for them. It's a real difficulty. It's not because they are rascals or they're wonderful, but they may need to know about blessings. And you only call out for blessings. This is my experience when you really come to a position which we have expressed earlier, Alas, alas, I'm most unfortunate. Now I come to you, my Lord. Take me up to the shade of the cool dust of your lotus feet. Oh, have mercy on this wretched self. And then you are collecting blessings. That means you are finally putting the right fuel in your spiritual life. Mercy, blessings is what carries you forward, not own endeavors. But in order to get that mercy, you must do a little effort. And the effort is for japa on these six points, which you have just now noted down. These are traditional points. They are brought up by Sanatan Goswami. And also Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Bhajan Rahasya, that's where he talks about the secrets. He writes a verse, a comment to this verse. He says, while chanting japa, and I think the way he writes it is very practical. You might take notes because it now is really the practical. Like, okay, what do I do then? Here is what you do. While chanting japa, remember Krishna's name with affectionate respect. Mm-hmm. Remember Krishna's name with affectionate respect. Be respectful. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Remember means you bring, it's a function of the mind. Bring your mind. It's not just your lips and your tongue. Bring your mind or bring your heart on Kanamrita's new t-shirt, which he was in when he greeted me, was not lip deep, heart deep. Yeah, there was this slogan he had written on his, was printed on his new t-shirt. Mm-hmm. While chanting japa, remember Krishna's name with affectionate respect. Concentrate your mind, second point, concentrate your mind on the chanting alone. It means bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Be pure in your mind. This is internal purity. I mean, that is a lifelong practice, you know. Put pure things into your mind, not impure things. And avoid speaking uselessly. Contemplate the mantra's meaning and remain patient. I will say it again. Mukunda looks at me. Did you lose something? Or? Good, good. While chanting japa, again, the whole thing. While chanting japa, remember Krishna's name with affectionate respect. Concentrate your mind on the chanting alone. I write it in five lines, then I can... be pure in your mind. And avoid speaking uselessly. Contemplate the mantra's meaning and remain patient. This is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Bhajan Rahasya. Bhajan Rahasya. It's in that chapter. Let me now remember it. It must be in the second chapter. Yes, yes. It's really the same, but almost it has a Bhaktivinoda Thakur twist on it, you know. But it is the same. It's a comment to this verse. In Bhajan Rahasya, he always quotes Sanskrit verses, and then he says it in Bengali with a certain, I think, a very practitioner-oriented twist. Yes. It's in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, 17th vilas. Vilas means wave, if I'm correctly informed. There are 17 books, you know, 17, like chapters, you can say. Text 129. 129. Blessings, blessings, blessings. I want to end. No, I have 4 more minutes. But maybe I should ask for questions. Let me ask for questions. Yes. Yes, when you start to chant very carefully after, you know, let me say, more careful than the ordinary chant, it takes longer in the beginning. But as you stick to the carefulness, as you stick to your practice, it will come down between 6 minutes to 7 minutes. 6 to 7. That's the time which Bhaktivinoda Thakur says around should take, and you can experience. What I sometimes recommend is this clock, you know, to take a clock and just see how you're doing, how much around takes, and then you know if you are either too fast, you know, you may go like Tom Cruise chanting, you know, very fast. I think he is. American actor who knows to shoot the pistol, and very fast, or you are maybe too slow, also spaced out, maybe, or you know. So sometimes it's good to take the time, but in the beginning, you know, you are now going. That's what you do on a japa retreat. You're overhauling your practice. You look at it, and it takes a little bit longer. And that's normal. It's like when you speak very articulately, or whatever the English word is, then you will take more time. As you speak. Huh? Yes? What is your good name again?
Jayashree.
Jayashree. Thank you. Yes, Jayashree. The mind is negative, like depressed or critical against people or anything. It could be anything, isn't it?
Just little things start.
Yeah, irritate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find any. I will give you an autobiographical answer. Because I have this all the time going on. You know, meditation, which we will learn this afternoon, is all about this. It's really coming to the space. I'm an eternal soul. Does it really matter so much? You know, that's, I always go back to the foundational Sambandha Gyan thing. I'm a soul. I mean, yes, now there's this unpleasant thing, and the room temperature is too cold, or I have physical ailments which disturb me, or a wave of bad emails which flooded in my inbox, you know, and or whatever. I'm thinking, I'm eternal, you know. I'm I'm a soul, and I'm approaching now Krishna. We will learn about the. Please mark the afternoon session. There we will deal with negative. I mean, have a meditation which very gently does this work. Mm-hmm. Good. Yes, Jai Radhe. Say that here. I have a great problem. This book belongs to Jayashri, not to me. I know I should give it back. But there's something in me which just wants to have it. And I'm already making subtle plans to talk Jayashri out of the possession of this book, you know. Can you please help me? What can I do? Do you understand what I want to say? That's the dilemma. We know we should, but we don't really want that. And my suggestion to you is good association. There's nothing more influential on our mindset and on desires than association. I just got an email from Giriraj Maharaj where he quoted Nectar of Instruction, where Prabhupada quotes this. It's so good. May I ask, I think Manu, you are very fast by nature. You have on your computer. Let us get this quotation. It's just was yesterday it was delivered, this email to me. I mean, and it will come. In Sangat Sanjayate Kama, in Sangha, you develop desires. This is how it works. Usually this verse is used in terms of by having association with the sense objects, by it means by contemplating them, you desire them. But Prabhupada in Nectar of Devotion, text 4 in the purport says, uses it in a different way. In Bhagavad Gita 2.62, it is stated, Sangat Sanjayate Kama, one's desires and ambitions develop according to the company one keeps. It is often said that a man is known by his company, or a woman is known by his company. And if an ordinary man associates with devotees, he will certainly develop his dormant Krishna consciousness. So, desires and ambitions develop according to the company one keeps. Jai Radhe, make a therapy. Just make go on pilgrimage, have good company with the devotees which are sufficiently vibrating with spiritual enthusiasm, and you will see that all of a sudden, oh, I also want that. Prabhu, can you tell me? You said this. Could I read it somewhere in Prabhupada's books? Oh, yeah, I'll make a note of that. Yeah, you all of a sudden want to read that part of Prabhupada's books. You never want to read Prabhupada's books. I mean, this is not like the Jai Radhe is our saintly Jai Radhe. I'm just saying, you know, all of a sudden you want things which you normally don't want. It's amazing. So this is our Giriraj Swami is announcing himself by he is coming soon, and he has already sent us a quotation which it really works. I always think I have made this a motto in my life when I was a young devotee. It was so difficult for me, Jai Radhe, because my mind is so extraordinary creative. You can't believe it. It's And when nothing works, I just keep good association. And all of a sudden, I also want to be a devotee. I will sing Kirtan. Yes, I know some melodies. Please, I also want to sing. You know, all of a sudden, one feels like that, you know. Association. And when you go for association, don't go to the association where you can talk, do the mistakes. Sometimes we look for our association. Okay, I'm in the lamenting mood. Who's a good lamenter here? You know, so that I can strengthen my lamentation capabilities. You know, you know, you need to go to another association. Okay. Our men are silent today. Gaurahari will, this is some balance, you know.
You were mentioning this mood of separation as an entrance to come in that,
Chaitanya Bhakti. We can cultivate separation by, you know, it's always said you should read the prayers, or you can associate with those who have it. Read the prayers, read these sections in our books, and it will come to you. Also, you should read come in contact with the examples of the great who were in that mood. You know, especially Gauranga Mahaprabhu, his pastimes in Gambira. Often I have heard from Vaishnava scholars that we as Vaishnavas like to very much meditate about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not so much in his Grihastha time, but in his Sannyas Leela, because there he totally expended the mood of separation. You know, after he came back from Kanainata Shala, what did he do? He stayed only for a year more in the Grihastha Ashram, and then he took sannyas. So that mood is there in Mahaprabhu in that time period of his Leela. And cultivate the mood of separation. I will now something which most probably will not taste very sweet. You have to just be real. Then you understand where you are. Humility, which has very much to do with being real. The Chinese say it's confronting the reality. Then you are humble. When that little P-Armin in us, which constantly talks, it's called the image maker. You know, image maker. PR. Public relation. Yes, public relation. When he becomes silent, then you will be humble. But there's always this P-Armin. You're good. Just look at you. How good you. Look at the color of my saffron. I mean, if that's not the proof, I don't know, you know. Piyaman, he works with colors and with everything. Become real. And for this meditation, really, Sambandha meditation, which we learned on the first day, I'm an infinitesimal part. Krishna is my unlimited master, and this world is a place for reforming my truant mentality. That helps so very much. We have to now look at the clock. I wish you a very, very good time. Let us hear from Archana City, maybe, or is there another facility, or is an orientation? And some blessings from...
That session and the Munavata ends for today.
Yagya Purusha Prabhu, I would like to ask you a question. You have facilitated many Java retreats and have done them also, and I know personally that you appreciate Java very much.
Maharaj, can you sit in the magic garden? Suggestions, please. I think it does help us very much to hear from experienced people who have done this and get their perspective, so that you don't run only on one man's perspective.
Yeah, though the of course the purpose of the Mona Rata is to become very efficient in your mental energy. Because every time you see somebody, you say, hi, how are you doing? Everything takes time and focus, and then you get, you know, sucked into conversation or this or that. But for this particular period of time, we want to exclusively focus on Krishna. But if you walk by somebody, you feel socially obligated to say something. That's just socially, you do that. That's what you have to do. Now, we are making a pact. We have an agreement among us here in this room for the next 6-7 hours, we don't have to do that. We do not have to, we don't have to talk to each other. You know, we don't have to, we're not obligated to say anything. The only exchange is Hare Krishna. And we can exclusively now have the opulence of exclusively focusing on the holy name. And become also, and have an opulence to be also to become a little internal. See what comes, because sometimes, you know, some of us are more introverted, some are more extroverted. So for the introverts, this is nectar. This is wonderful. I don't have to deal with anybody. I can be quiet. Oh, that's great. I'm not the one who always raises my hand in class and everything. So this is beautiful. We should always have a Mona Rata. Now for others, this is very hard. So the opportunity is to a little bit come in touch really with ourselves, to be alone with ourselves and Krishna. And this can be scary. And that's because we are afraid of ourselves. We don't know what to do. Who am I? You know, it's the most scariest thing to be alone with ourselves. So, but we are not alone. We are taking shelter of Krishna. But he has an opportunity now to do that, which normally we might just always kind of escape from. So our natural tendency is we're always kind of running away from ourselves constantly, our whole life maybe. So now is an opportunity to stay with ourselves and be with ourselves and with Krishna. That's a wonderful thing, is there's a wonderful union can take place. We can make a wonderful discovery that actually I'm never alone, that Krishna is always there. So that's kind of my personal experience. And really this is Giriraj Maharaj's realization that, you know, it just preserves so much mental energy. We can now focus on the relationship with Krishna. We don't have to deal with every single person that we see and meet, and we, you know, whatever, or what our mind wants to talk. Oh, I need to hear about this and what about this. And how was this and how was that? So all this now, we can, we have the wonderful space we're creating where we can just be with Krishna and have that, have the, and we can pray for the strength also. This is maybe something we can all do for these next 7 hours. We can pray for the strength to actually remain with Krishna and not kind of escape maybe in our fantasies or in sleep or whatever. You know, of course, if you're tired, take a nap. Of course, that's not a problem. But you know, just to kind of, again, running away from ourselves. So here's that opportunity in this Mona Vrata. It's a very special, something, again, normally we don't do, especially with a lot of people around. So very special opportunity. So, and we found it, we got a tremendous feedback from it. It can be confronting, it can be scary, but if you allow yourself and to embrace this understanding with this perspective, that here's an opportunity to really, this could be me and Krishna. Now this is just me and Krishna. What a wonderful meditation that can be. So, Hare Krishna. That's it. This is our final words now. Anything else we need to discuss? Anything in the announcements? Yes, Mother Indrani.